ASAP, any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, wait. Who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we are also joined by John Kegley on today's show, one of the original members of the show. And before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, Slam Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. Now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, it was definitely a strange day yesterday. Everyone was excited about the scrimmage, but of course the Chargers ended up canceling the scrimmage to talk about something that is much more important and using their platform for a greater cause. So today we are going to start the show with the news that the scrimmage was canceled and talk about some of the powerful messages that ended up coming out of that practice anyways. And we also want to, you know, give you guys an escape from all of the politics in the world as well. So we will be getting into some football today as well, some X's and O's, because 1 week from today, we will be putting out the show, giving out our initial 53-man roster projections. And so today, what we are going to do is go through some of the guys that are on the bubble and talk about right now, before this last week of practices, where we think that they stand and what their chances are of making the roster. So in the second segment, we'll start with the offensive side of the ball and we'll wrap things up with the defensive side of the ball to end the show. But let's go ahead and get into it. On Thursday, the Los Angeles Chargers decided to cancel their scrimmage at SoFi Stadium and instead wanted to spread a more important message. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. The Los Angeles Chargers got to check out their brand new stadium for the first time on Thursday, and they were supposed to have an inner squad scrimmage, which was going to be partially televised on NFL Network, and instead, what they decided to do was cancel the scrimmage to talk about something which is much more important, and that is the social justice and the inequalities that are happening in this country right now. And it started with head coach Anthony Lynn, who said that it was not a team vote, but himself that decided after talking with the team that they would not be scrimmaging today. And instead, what he said was, "We're not going to scrimmage today. I thought what we did in the locker room in the last hour was 10 times more powerful than what we could have done on the football field today." What he is referencing is the fact that the Chargers had a very emotional talk in their new locker room, talking about everything that's going on in the world, specifically about the Jacob Blake shooting that has been all over the news over the last few days and what that has brought upon this country. And David, instead, they chose their national platform to each go up and stand together with their team to provide a very powerful message to this country.
Yes, and they did that in a multitude of different ways. They put messages on the video board, as well as different victims of police brutality. But Anthony Lynn talked about that conversation when he said, "The conversation we had in the locker room was a very good conversation. Players and coaches were able to get a lot off their chest. Some of it was uncomfortable for a lot of people, but I think, and I said earlier, it was necessary because there was a bunch of mixed emotions as we were prepared to take the field for our scrimmage. The players were all geared up, ready to go out there and try to impress some coaches, but things changed and the players had to adapt, and they definitely took this opportunity to talk about something that's extremely important that's happening in our country right now." And I think Tyrod Taylor, the presumed starting quarterback of the Chargers, really put it best when he said, "It is our duty and our responsibility, whether people believe it or not, to be able to play at a professional level, but also speak on things that are going on in our country. We all want what's best for humans. It's not a race thing. It's about humans." And I think that's a very strong and powerful message. Very simple, but very powerful from Tyrod Taylor. At the end of the day, we are all human beings. We all breathe. We all live in this same world. So we just need to treat each other as human beings.
Yeah, and a few of the Chargers also just talked about when you see the Jacob Blake video, if you're not feeling disgusted by that or you don't feel that there's something wrong with that, seeing another human being shot in the back by a police officer, then you need to check where your morals are. And that was really the theme of the entire day, was just the Chargers asking people to listen, different Chargers speaking up and using their platform for a greater good. And Jerry Tillery, the Chargers defensive tackle, said that there's nothing more important than this right now, alluding to why the Chargers decided to cancel their scrimmage in the wake of other teams like the Milwaukee Bucks deciding to protest their playoff game against the Orlando Magic, which led many NBA teams to do the same. And then it spread to all of the other major sports in America. And on Thursday, the Chargers were doing their part, but it didn't stop there. There were more Chargers that wanted to get their message heard, and a few more guys got to shed light on some really powerful subjects.
One person who's been extremely outspoken on subjects of this matter is the Chargers running back Justin Jackson, and he also offered some words on how they can actually affect some change. He said that talking about it is not enough. He wants everyone to use this platform to affect real change, and how you do that is through real legislation and also getting people in office that are actually going to represent who they are and what they need. So instead of talking about it, Justin Jackson offering an actual path on how they can actually get real change. And the Chargers utilized some very valuable practice time here. And the Chargers used some extremely valuable practice time and press to talk about this, and that continued with Isaac Rochelle. And he said, "This is the first time I've been to the stadium, and for the rest of my life, I'll think back to the first time I came here. We were discussing social injustices in our country." Anthony Lynn made sure to say that the Chargers and himself and his players are not going to stop talking about it. When he said, "We know when we started protesting and started saying Black Lives Matter, we knew it was going to be peaks and valleys. And so even though we're frustrated as hell and sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're going to keep fighting." And I think that's just another way Anthony Lynn is showing his incredible leadership, saying, "Hey, we know it's tough. We know these things are happening in our world right now, but we're going to continue to use this platform to speak up and stand up for what's right until everyone is treated equally."
And that's what all of this is about, is just being against police brutality and having everyone get the same treatment from those who are charged with protecting us. And I think that Anthony Lynn's most poignant comment of the day actually came when he said what happened in Wisconsin was ridiculous. To see that a white boy walking down the street with a machine gun and nobody does nothing. If that's a black man, that's a dead black man. And we all know that. And I think for everyone out there trying to understand this whole situation and trying to listen, hearing someone say something like that and realizing that it is true, it is not the same treatment on both sides. But Lynn did say he was hopeful. He said this was a setback. And he said they're not going to quit. If anything, they're going to double down. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be talking about the guys on the bubble for this roster and their chances of making the team as we see it right now, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that Built Bars are back, the best protein bar on the planet. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar is now back and better than ever, with six new amazing flavors like carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and lemon almond cheesecake. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're also great for the keto diet as well. Usually you have to choose something that is healthy or something that tastes great, and you don't have to do that with Built Bar. And right now you could get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. And you can also go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, well, now it's time to get into this roster and how we expect it to shake out, with the Chargers having to cut this roster down to 53 by September 5th. So next Friday's show will be the last show that we have to talk about who's going to make this roster. And for today, honestly, I didn't even know if I was going to record this show. We weren't necessarily sure if we wanted to or if it would be a better idea to just cancel the show and kind of stand in solidarity with the Chargers. But eventually we decided that we wanted to amplify their message if we could, and that's kind of why we're here today. And we want to bring you some football as well, because we know that's why you guys want to listen to this. But again, I just want to commend the Chargers and what they've been able to do. Anthony Lynn and this Chargers team, it's hard not to be really proud of those guys and what they were able to do on Thursday. But I do want to talk about the football, and I want to talk about this team, because it's crunch time now. I mean, the Chargers are going to have to make some really tough decisions coming very soon. And so I wanted to go over just some of the guys that are on the bubble right now and what we think their chances are of making the team. We're going to start with the offense right now, and I'm going to start with a position battle that's been raging so far during training camp, and that is the position for the tight end three with Donald Parham and Steven Anderson. And Steven Anderson is a guy that we didn't really expect a lot from, but over and over again, you keep seeing how he's standing out at practice. He's been getting commendation from the head coach about his blocking, and so has Parham as well. And now it seems like he might have a leg up in the race. But John, when it comes down to it, the Chargers will probably only keep three tight ends. That's what they did last year, Sean Culkin, Virgil Green, and Hunter Henry. So if it's going to be one of these two guys, do you have it being Parham, the XFL star, or Steven Anderson, the kind of unknown that's been showing off so far?
I feel like it's going to be Donald Parham just because I feel he has the higher ceiling. I feel the Chargers think he could be a potential tight end two maybe in the future. Like, let Virgil Green go in the future and Parham's your number two guy. He's your project, if you will. So I feel like they would go with him more than anything. If they were to put him on, say, practice squad, he was known as the top tight end in the XFL, and somebody else is willing to take a risk on that. So I think they keep him on the roster for Steven Anderson.
Yeah, I think I would disagree on this one just because I think with such a condensed training camp, the lack of practices, and maybe just the fact that we haven't seen Donald Parham making more splash plays so far, I think he is a prime practice squad candidate. But I think with what he's been able to do so far, I think they're going to lean towards Steven Anderson. But I 100% agree with you on the upside part of it. I think that Donald Parham overall has a lot of upside. Both the guys are known for their receiving more than their blocking. Steven Anderson is a former wide receiver turned tight end, so both guys can catch the ball. So far, Steven Anderson has had the better camp, but the Chargers have also mentioned Donald Parham specifically with the coaching staff a couple of times. And if they want to have, you know, a guy that can be electric after the catch and has the size and can do some of the things he does, it wouldn't surprise me at all that even if he hasn't really shown a ton so far, that they want to keep him around and see what he can do. But
they also signed him to a multi-year deal too. I think that's something that can't be understated.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a lot of undrafted free agents even getting 2 or 3 year contracts to try to sway them from going to other teams. I don't necessarily think it's going to be the contract that ends up determining this. I think it'll be weighing the upside over the guy who's been with this team a little bit last season and knows the offense the best and can contribute right away if something were to happen to a guy like Hunter Henry, who has a big injury list in his past. But let's get to the next position group here. I want to talk about the wide receiver position and who is going to make the squad. And this conversation got a little bit more interesting with the injury to Mike Williams. Daniel Popper said last week that he expects it to be something around 4 to 6 weeks, and the team is preparing to go without Williams for the entirety of September. I think you have to be hopeful that he can come back a little bit before that and that it's closer to the 4 weeks than it would be to the 6 weeks. And it has also been reported that it could be 2 to 4 weeks. So we really don't have a lot of clarity, but right now it seems like they're not going to be able to put him on the physically unable to play list, the PUP list, or injured reserve, because that way he would have to miss 6 and 8 games respectively. So they're probably going to keep Mike Williams on the roster, but now it becomes, who else do they end up keeping? So we have heard that Jalen Guyton has gotten some reps with the first team, but I think it's still fair to wonder if he is locked on this team. So I think it comes down to guys like Darius Jennings, who is brought in as a returner, Jason Moore, who made the team last year as an undrafted free agent and is still around, and then Jalen Guyton himself, even though he hasn't pressed so far. So with Mike Williams, if you were going to keep 5 wide receivers like the Chargers did last season, it would be Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joe Reed, and KJ Hill. We all discussed and we all feel like they're both safe to make this roster. So it's going to come down to Jason Moore, Darius Jennings, and Jalen Guyton for that 5th receiver spot. I mean, I think it even could be 2 of these guys, David, but if you're looking at those 3 guys, which of those guys do you think makes the team?
Well, I think just based off of everything that we've heard and also, you know, based off the profile that the Chargers have said that they're looking for that wide receiver 3 position, it seems like Jalen Guyton has the leg up, seems like he has the resume and the speed to be the speed that the Chargers are looking for. He's a 4.35 guy. He's a little on the taller side, but the guy can straight up fly. That's specifically what Anthony Lynn said that he's looking for from that spot. So it seems like it's going to be him. Now, before the Mike Williams injury, I thought the Darius Jennings signing was completely irrelevant, and it was a moot point that he was not going to make the roster. But with that injury, I think it opened the door for the Chargers to say, hey, he's a veteran. He's got a little bit of experience in this league, even though he has not really had very much offensive production in the NFL. because he's a veteran in this type of climate, it might open the door for them to add him on top of adding Jalen Guyton. But beforehand, I thought he had no chance. But now I think there's a small spot for Darius Jennings to possibly make this team as well.
Well, now they're having to use him as a wide receiver, and we weren't even sure if he was going to sniff the field as a wide receiver and would only be kept for his prowess for special teams and being one of the better return men over the last few seasons. So that'll be very interesting, but I definitely think Darius Jennings' stock has risen. If I had to guess right now, I would say Jennings and Guyton both make the team, and Jason Moore is the odd man left out, but you just never know because Jason Moore has been with the team as well already, knows the offense and all of that, even though it's going to be kind of a new offense this year. But this one is probably the toughest one to pick, the offensive line. Last year, the Chargers kept 8 offensive linemen, but they didn't have to have Russell Okung technically on the roster because he was on the PUP list because of the pulmonary embolism. This year, I expect them to keep 9 offensive linemen, John, but just building it out, I mean, it's going to be tough because the 5 starters will obviously make the team, including Sam Tevy right now at left tackle. And the Chargers probably won't have a backup for every position. So last year it was only 3 guards, and I think that could be the case this year. And there's also the big question about Storm Norton. So if we're looking at it and only 9 guys are going to make the roster, I think that puts these 3 guys kind of on the chopping block. Either Storm Norton, Trent Scott, or Forrest Lamp could be the guy that ends up making the team. Now Trent Scott is more of a guard from where they've had him at so far. Storm Norton has really impressed this coaching staff and has taken first team reps when Brian Bulaga is out, and he's also worked on the left side as well. So John, when you're looking at these 3 guys, I mean, the Chargers are definitely going to have to move on from one of them at least. So who do you think that would be?
I'd have to think it'd probably be Forrest Lamp. If they move Trent Scott to guard it, I would say it's 100% going to be Forrest Lamp. If Trent Scott stays at tackle, then I think there's a chance it might be Trent Scott. But I know Anthony Lynn loves Trent Scott and always has high praise for him, so that makes it really hard for me to 100% go with. But right now, I'm going to say the leading candidate to get cut would have to be Forrest Lamp.
Which is crazy. I mean, obviously, they've had, you know, multiple injuries to kind of base that off of. Last year, they went into the season with Forrest Lamp as the only backup guard. It was Michael Schofield, Dan Feeney, and Forrest Lamp at the position. Also, Scott Questenberry is the backup center. There is a chance that he could play some guard as well. But if I'm looking at these 3 guys right now, I wouldn't have thought Storm Norton would have a great chance coming in, but it seems like he's really impressed his coaching staff. So I'm going to say that Storm Norton and Forrest Lamp make the team, and Trent Scott is the odd man out. I think he tries to become a guard. I don't necessarily think that it's going to just make him an otherworldly player, and I don't know if he'll have enough time to unseat Forrest Lamp, who has actually gotten on the field that guard, even though it was for a very short amount of time. But I do think it's a legitimate toss-up for these guys right now. Trent Scott brings you tackle versatility, but he's a very unknown commodity at guard. It'll be very interesting to see, but it is nice seeing Storm Norton impressing. I mean, especially for a guy from the XFL and not knowing what to expect, I think he's done a really, really good job and incredibly helped his chances of making this team. But the last position I want to get into is fullback, David. And there's 2 guys that we think one of them will end up making the roster. We think it'll be 4 running backs total. The 3 that you would guess, I mean, Josh Kelly, Justin Jackson, Austin Ekeler, plus a fullback, which is what they did last year. It was Troymaine Pope, Austin Ekeler, Justin Jackson, and Derek Watt, the fullback. So now it comes down to Gabe Neighbors or Bobby Hawley. So as you see it right now, David, which is the guy they keep out of these 2?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question because you look at Bobby Hawley, he's that prototypical fullback, the guy that's going to go in the hole and try to run somebody over and open up spots for that running back to fly through. And then you have Gabe Neighbors, who brings a little bit more versatility to the fullback position, can do that, can catch the football, can even play some backup tight end. So I think at the end of the day, it's who can do more for the football team? And looking at it through those lenses, I think it's Gabe Neighbors that is actually going to be the guy who takes that fullback spot because he just offers more versatility to the football team.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I know that Bobby Hawley is a fan favorite, and he's definitely the guy that looks the part the most, but you know the Chargers love their versatility, and especially with the uncertainty at the tight end position, if you're keeping kind of an unsure guy with that 3rd spot, you have Gabe Neighbors, who has a little bit of experience there, even though I would say it's nothing to write home about. And he's also has, you know, some long snapping experience. He could be the backup long snapper if something were to happen to Cole Mazza. So I think that Bobby Hawley might be the better fit as a pure fullback. But with the way this team operates and the way they like to use some of these guys and think that they like to use some of these guys as versatile pieces offensively, I definitely think that Gabe Neighbors, from everything we've heard, would definitely be the leader in the clubhouse right now. And it's not even a foregone conclusion that they're going to keep a fullback, but they said they wanted to. So we think that could be the undrafted free agent that makes the team. But we still have a bunch more guys to talk about on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to be talking about the defensive line, the edge rushers, as well as the linebackers that are going to make the team coming up right after this. All right, well, it's time to get onto the other side of the ball and talk about some of the guys on the bubble for the defensive side. And I think this one becomes a little bit harder because there's not as many spots that I don't think that are up for grabs. I don't necessarily think that there's going to be a ton of change on this side of the ball, but I do think there's some spots where there's some big questions. So let's start with the defensive line and talk about the edge rushers. I have Isaac Rochelle, Joe Gaziano, and Jesse Lemonnier as edge defenders that could possibly get cut from the team and the Chargers having to pick one of those guys. Last year, they kept four edge defenders. It was Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Isaac Rochelle, and Chris Peace, who had an impressive preseason, which definitely helped him make the roster. This year, I would classify Nwosu as just a defensive end. They basically said as much themselves that he's the backup Leo, and that's how they're going to try to get him on the field. He's not really a linebacker anymore. And then two undrafted free agents here, John. That one, in Joe Gaziano's case, he's been hurt a few of the days, which is definitely going to hurt his stock in training camp, and also Jesse Lemonnier, who we haven't really heard a bunch from either. Maybe the scrimmage is where they would have, you know, shown what they have and kind of put themselves on the map. But do you think that Isaac Rochelle is kind of the guy that no matter what is going to make it out of the three of them?
Without a doubt, I do. When Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa were having their injury issues, Isaac Rochelle stepped in very well for them. And I think he can still do that. And I think that's why, you know, no matter what, he makes this roster. He does really well filling in, and him and Nwosu would do really good at replacing Ingram or Bosa if they were to get hurt. And Nwosu himself is a role player, basically. He can be substituted in if they need a speed rush. And if he was to get hurt, Rochelle is still a backup on this team. If you lose Nwosu, Ingram, or Bosa, one of them throughout the season, and you want to replace them with one of these undrafted free agents, you're probably not going to have a good replacement.
Well, I think it becomes at some point which of these guys is going to make the practice squad out of the two of them. Gaziano made the most sense just as far as looking at guys that kind of fit what Gus Bradley likes to do as like a big defensive end. But I think the other interesting thing to talk about here is the fact that not only has Emeka Egbuwe been getting some snaps at defensive end, but they've also been using Jerry Tillery a lot there this training camp. And you could definitely see a transition for him in the future, especially with how high they are on Justin Jones. I do think he still will play defensive tackle, but they definitely are intrigued with what he can do on the outside as well. So, hey, maybe there's a chance they go Nwosu, Bosa, Ingram, and feel good about, you know, Jerry Tillery being that versatile guy who can get out on the edge as well as play on the inside. So that'll be very interesting to see. I'll also be interested to see which one of these guys makes the practice squad. And talking about the defensive interior, I think really the question here is not who is going to make the team, because I think if they keep five like they did last year, it's going to be Linval Joseph, Jerry Tillery, Justin Jones, Damian Square, and Cortez Broughton. Broughton, I think, is a guy, David, that would probably be on the bubble, but I think at one point he had a sack in three straight practices. He has definitely come in new and improved into this training camp, and the other guys behind him, the undrafted free agents that the Chargers have brought in, are really nothing to be super impressed by. So I think it's going to be those five guys. But I think the bigger question here is which one of these guys is going to start the season as the starter, because right now it's looking like Justin Jones at the three technique alongside Linval Joseph and the two edge rushers is going to be the starter, even though they spent a first-round pick on Jerry Tillery.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen as well. I think everything you're hearing about Justin Jones is that he's looking really good coming into camp. He's gotten to much better shape. He has better pass rush moves. He was always a pretty good stout run defender, but if his pass rush moves was able to catch up with his run stuffing ability, then he definitely needs to be the starter. And I think they would have Jerry Tillery rotate in on some pass rush downs as well. But that's going to be a delicate mix. I mean, it's who do you put in and how do you put in to have these guys both help your football team? But I think if the question is who starts, I think right now Justin Jones has put himself in a very good position to be that guy as the starter.
I would say so, too. I think it is going to be really a mix of the three of those guys at both positions. I do think that Justin Jones will also get some snaps at nose tackle, maybe instead of Linval Joseph when they're trying to give him a spell. I think that it'll be a rotation between Tillery, Linval Joseph, and Justin Jones. I think you will see all of those guys play meaningful snaps this season, but I do think it starts out with Justin Jones being the starter opening day week one against the Cincinnati Bengals. But getting to the next position on here, where I think this is the position that is most in flux, John, and that's the linebacking core. Last year, the Chargers had 8 linebackers make the roster, but a lot of those guys aren't even with the team anymore. You had Nick DeZubner as a special teams guy making the roster, and you also had a guy like Jatavis Brown, who's not with the team anymore, and you also had Nwosu classified as a linebacker, and now we have him with the edge defender. So now, John, I think there's probably 6 linebackers that we think will make the team for sure, and that's going to be Kenneth Murray, Kazir White, Drew Tranquil, Denzel Perryman, Emeka Egbule, and Nick Vigil. We probably think they will keep at least one more linebacker, even though that's one less than they kept last year. At this point, who do you see that linebacker being?
Well, it would probably be Malik Jefferson that makes the team as that 7th linebacker, but I can also see them possibly keeping an 8th guy just to be a special teams role kind of guy. And the two guys that would probably make the leading candidates for that would be Romeo Finley out of Miami and Asmar Bilal out of Notre Dame. To choose between those two, you'd have to choose between, do you want a guy that's going to hit hard and throw himself into you as hard as he can, but that also leaves open the chance of guys bouncing off tackles and creating big returns? And
that'd be Romeo Finley.
Or do you want a guy who's probably going to be able to bounce all around the field and always be there for the tackle and will probably make the tackle? And that is Bilal. If you're asking me, based on how much trouble we've had with missed tackles in the past, I love hard-hitting guys. I love being the more aggressive, go all in for it. But the Chargers have been hurt with missed tackles lately, so I think you have to go with the more sure tackle guy, and I think that is Asmar Bilal that makes the 8th linebacker spot if they want a special teams strict guy like a Nick DeZubner type.
Well, we know how much they love Notre Dame players, right? I mean, they don't need any argument or any extra reason to bring in a guy from Notre Dame. The Notre Dame Fighting Chargers, exactly. So I definitely like that call. I mean, I could see there still being 8 linebackers. We already took one away with Uchenna Nwosu. Emeka Egbule is a guy they've also had play defensive end, but I don't necessarily think that his job is in jeopardy right now just because I don't know exactly who would take that job away from him. But all of those guys, Malik Jefferson, Emeka Egbule, and Asmar Bilal would all have to be playing on special teams to make up for the absence of guys like Derek Watt, Jeremy Davis, and some of the other players the Chargers lost in free agency this year. And for the other positions, I think at cornerback, it's pretty set. I think that it'll be 5 like it was last year, and those 5 will be Desmond King, Casey Hayward, Michael Davis, Chris Harris Jr., and Brandon Faison. I think the more interesting question there becomes, can Brandon Faison actually push Michael Davis for snaps on this defense, which I think is still up for grabs according to some people? And I think with the safeties, you also have Desmond King, who can play a little bit of safety, and you know they've been working him out that way. But the other 4 guys there, Rayshon Jenkins, Nazir Adderley, Derwin James, and Elohi Gilman, all feel like locks at this point. But I do think there's some positions up for grabs. I mean, it's still undetermined who's going to be that dime linebacker, who's going to be on the field in nickel situations as well, whether it's Chris Harris Jr. moving into the slot or him staying outside and letting Desmond King be in the slot. There's still a lot, but I think all of those guys are pretty much locks to make this roster, and we'll be able to get more into it next week as these final cuts are looming. But that is going to do it for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Monday, hopefully having more to talk about from some more Chargers practices. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify. We would really appreciate it. And we might do a voicemail show on Monday too. So if you guys want to get your voices on the show, the number is 323-524-7924. And we try to get every Chargers voicemail played on the show. But thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to the Chargers for making a very important stand and sacrificing some playing time for a much larger message. But we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.